discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short, I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell. Life is short, I want to live it well. And you're the one I'm living for.
To hear the good folks of Ren Collective tell it, one of the freshest and most beloved bands on your radio can't believe their own success. In fact, they're absolutely shocked by it. Their latest album, Good News, releases this week, from which they've already launched the joy-filled song, Rescuer.
He's our rescuer. He's our rescuer. We are free from sin forevermore.
Chris Llewellyn is the lead singer of these Northern Irish hitmakers, and we get the chance to meet this good man today. Chris, it's a treat to have you here, sir. Welcome to On the Road.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I'm just glad to be here and I'm talking to you guys.
Now, with the new music of Good News, what is it about this record that you're so excited to share?
I think the thing that's really excited us and kind of energized us for this whole project has been really we started to realize that kind of every time we picked up our phone or we turned on the TV or went on social media, that the world is just so full of bad news right now. There's so much negativity out there. And as a church, it's not just our responsibility not to bring more negativity, but it's our mission given by Jesus to proclaim good news, to be hope and to be light in those situations and in these seasons that we find ourselves in. You know, whenever Jesus kind of describes his mission statement at the beginning of Luke, he says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim good news for the captives. And that's still our mission statement as well. If we're to be like Jesus, that's what we're here for, to announce good news.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Well, the lead single, obviously, from the record, Rescuer, has been impacting people for some months already. And it is like so many of your songs. I mean, it's just effervescent with how much joy is there. Can you share a little bit of the heart behind that song and where it comes from?
Yeah, well, really, this song just builds upon that theme of good news. It reminds us that we have a rescuer in Jesus who is not just a rescuer for those of us who are in church or who are nice or who are polite, but the song goes through to mention that the invitation for rescue is thrown out really wide, that the message of Jesus is good news for absolutely everyone. It's good news for the captive, for the people who are suffering from shame, for people who maybe are a little burned out on religion. This good news just can't be contained inside the four walls of a church. And it's open to literally anyone who wants to come and receive it. And this song really just celebrates that fact that Jesus has set us free from sin forevermore.
Chris Llewellyn is the lead singer of the Northern Irish hitmakers Ren Collective, just out with their latest album, Good News, this week. And I really should have asked you how to say Llewellyn properly before I tried to say it myself. How did I do, brother?
You nailed it. 100% nailed it.
What? Oh, wow. This is a good day, sir. Well, I mean, the thing
is,
it's
ridiculously good.
Well said. Well said. You know, joy does seem to be just this recurring theme throughout so many of your songs. It's just this, you listen to the words, you listen to the soundscape, and it just buoys you with the joy that just seeps out of your music. I mean, this is obviously kind of a big question, but where does that joy come from, and why is it so obvious when we listen to your songs?
Well, I think the reason why we gravitate to joy is, in a weird way, because we're kind of naturally quite grumpy people, believe it or not. we come from this like slightly damp, wet, ever so slightly cold country, and even waking up in the morning, it's hard to find joy when you can't find the sun. But I think one thing that we've realized is that joy actually isn't something that is automatic for human beings at all, but it's a spiritual discipline that we need to cultivate and actually practice. You know, happiness is what happens to us, really. It's when you pass your driving test, or you, you know, I don't know, you get a box of chocolates. But joy is something that's so much deeper than that. Joy is that is our strength. You know, the scripture says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And, you know, that strength can sustain us even in dark times. We can, as Christians, we can have this almost defiant joy that arrives even in the middle of our hardest seasons. And that's what we're sort of chasing as a band, is to try and be not just happy, but to be joyful.
Wow, what an awesome response. Well, and having never been to your sceptered island realm myself, you describe it as being very wet, but in addition to the dampness, it is an extraordinarily beautiful place, right? Is that fair to say?
It really is. That's the other side of the coin. If the sun were to ever come out, I think it would be the greatest place on planet Earth. It would be better than Hawaii.
You guys explain your genesis as a band there in this beautiful place that we speak of as being a group of confused 20-somethings trying to figure out faith, life, God, and community in this small Northern Irish coastal town. What did you set out to do when you formed the band? What was your purpose?
Well, we began as really just a Bible study. The thought process was that we realized that at the end of youth group, kind of that 18 marker, between 18 and the time that you're married, there was a real gap in church for where you were supposed to fit in. And unfortunately, it's in that gap that we saw a lot of our friends walk away from faith. And a lot of it was because, I guess, the simplicity of the truth that they had been learning in youth group just didn't stand up to real life. And they didn't have any community to kind of wrestle through the questions and the gray areas of faith that are so difficult, I guess, into adulthood. And we wanted to create a space where people actually in that age group, that 18 to 30s and single, were really on fire for Jesus and really pursuing that. The funny thing about that Bible study, which was actually called Ren, is that there was basically no music. We didn't play music for years. It really wasn't about that. There was no glamour. There was no lights or stage or anything. We just kind of sat around on the floor of a sports hall and we opened a Bible and prayed together. And you know, it's from there that we kind of grew. To be honest, Ren Collective, our music might change, and our music is by no means the best thing about us. In my opinion, the best thing about us is that we're a community of people who really are family to each other and who really model that and who are trying imperfectly to chase after Jesus. We're still basically those kids on the sports hall floor. We've just got a ukulele in our hand sometimes now.
Your answers are full of insight and full of amusement as well, sir, if I might say that. Chris Llewellyn is the lead singer of the Northern Irish hitmakers Ren Collective, just out with their latest album, Good News, this week. Now, people that are devotees of the band know that initially when they started to love your music, you were the Ren Collective experiment, and then the experiment stopped. Where did the experiment go, brother?
you know, in spirit, the experiment continues. It was just a syllabic problem with our accents and with the already long name of Ren Collective. Adding experiment was just too much. We were asking too much of people. And then our names are difficult to pronounce, so we just kind of realized everybody was already shortening it to Ren Collective. And we could afford to drop the experiment. But honestly, we called ourselves an experiment because we were, I guess, not just experimenting with different musical styles, but also we kind of think faith is a little bit like an experiment. When you step out in faith, you don't exactly know what's going to happen. You just kind of have this hypothesis of what you hope is going to happen. And we want to retain that, I guess, that slightly more dangerous side of faith. We want to be on the edges of our relationship with God, like trying to push into new frontiers. And I guess that was the spirit behind it.
I love that. you know, it's funny to read your self-deprecating analysis of your own success, because you guys have all said that you're pretty surprised at how much people love your work. Have you come to a place of understanding any more deeply about just why it's impacting people as much as it is?
No, I have no understanding whatsoever. I'm really glad of it. You know, it's funny because during the little breaks, you sometimes refer to us as hit makers, and I was actually chuckling to myself. I was thinking, what are those hits? But maybe you're just speaking it out in faith.
No, I could go through and name them. I promise, it's true.
All right, I believe you. You know, I think for us, what we've realized is that long before we actually had any songs that were really exciting for people, we already kind of had a groundswell of people who really wanted to like us because they liked what we stood for. And I kind of think it's the same thing that's drawn people on board today. It's when you see a group of people who genuinely love each other and who genuinely are trying to pursue faith, there's something that's attractive about that. And, you know, I think there's other bands who play music far better than us. There's other bands who write more fantastic lyrics. But the one thing that we've really kind of got down is we know how to have a good time together. And we really are just trying to be ourselves and be Christians at the same time. And people seem to really resonate with that. Authenticity is so important to people in a world that's increasingly artificial.
Wow, that is an excellent point. So I have one last question for you, and this is a little bit a little bit off the wall as well, but it does seem again and again throughout musical history that when folks who are amazing at music and are also from the British Isles come to this nation of America with their music, we absolutely adore you guys. Do you have any theories on why Americans love to listen to British people make music so much?
Well, in our experience, it's just been the accent has disguised the music. I'm not sure anybody could tell you. People care very deeply about the things that we say from stage and listen very intently to that. And I think it burns them out and they aren't able to pay as much attention to the music. That's my theory. Also, everybody in America is at least a little bit Irish. We did such a good job of populating your fine country that we're all friends and family at the end of the day. So I think that's what's going on. Also, Brits have a wee bit of a quirky experimental spirit that sometimes can sometimes be better than the polish and the perfection. You know, there's something ramshackle about British rock.
That's so true. That's so true. Oh, I'm tempted to continue speaking to you, but sir, I know you're a very busy man and you need to get going. Chris Llewellyn, lead singer of the Northern Irish Hitmakers, it's true, Wren Collective, just out with their latest album, Good News, this week. What an absolute pleasure speaking with you, sir. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks a lot. That was great fun interview. Thank you.
The album is called Good News, just out this week from Rend Collective and available wherever fine music is sold. You can head to rendcollective.com to grab a copy or to learn more about these tremendous musicians and Jesus followers. Well, the last time we welcomed another tremendous songwriter and man of faith, we laughed almost until we cried. Micah Tyler is the voice behind Never Been a Moment and his latest single, Different. He's got a whole lot of joy in his heart and a great sense of humor, not to mention an amazing story that took him from a sausage delivery truck to the stage. But this past year has been a real challenge for Micah and his family, and he takes us through that series of obstacles, starting with a close encounter with Hurricane Harvey.
Yeah, we did. We had about 44 inches of rain hit our home in less than 2 days. And so that, you know, we were more fortunate. I mean, there were bridges that fell down 15 miles from our home and people that had 11 feet of water get into their homes, right down the road from us. So we were more fortunate. We thought we fared okay. But apparently when you have rushing water going underneath your home and not getting inside of it, that can do some damage as well. And so it took the leveling of our home, and unleveled our house. And so that has caused our kitchen to start sinking. And so we're in the process right now of replacing our flooring in our kitchen and our subflooring and having our house re-leveled. And so, that was pretty crazy. And then 2 weeks later, we found out that we had a diagnosis. My little brother, Daniel, was diagnosed with, stage 4 colon cancer, which was a big shock to our family. He was going in because he'd been kind of not feeling great. And the doctors were basically just trying to like check things off a list. Like this wasn't supposed to be the answer. This was supposed to be another like thing that we could rule out.
Sure.
And found out that he had that. And so he's 3 chemo treatments in right now. And we're fighting alongside of him and, you know, waiting to see what the Lord's going to do with that. But yeah, man, in a season where there's all these lows, and there's so many highs that are going on too. And we just released this brand new record that we're so excited about. And I've been on tour with Big Daddy Weave and We Are Messengers for, I'm on show 48 tonight with those guys. this fall and was nominated for a New Artist of the Year award at the Dove Awards this year. But yeah, man, it's been like this really strange high and low. But man, the Lord's been faithful through all of it. And, it's been exciting to see how he's going to, you know, keep showing himself to be faithful and showing himself to be hopeful through all these craziness that we're going through.
In the midst of this craziness that you describe, you have this song Different that makes its appearance, and you have expressed how it has really been a poignant message for you as you deliver this message in concert and in recordings as you go through this time in your life. How has that worked out for you?
Man, it's so funny because when the song was written, it was written in a whole different way. I mean, the song was actually written from me being an insecure teenager that had grown up to be an insecure adult. I felt like Psalm 139 being uniquely made was like a punishment to me. Mm. I felt like being different than everyone else. Like I just wanted to be like everyone else, and I still battle that today. I tell myself like, oh man, I wish I could write a song like Mercy Me, and I wish I could sing it like Danny Gokey, and like I can go through and compare myself to all these other people who are heroes of mine and guys who I just so respect and look up to. But man, the Lord's only called me to be one person, and that's myself. And at the same time, he's also drawn me to look more like him. And so Different was written as me just embracing that what the Lord calls unique, he also calls wonderful. But it's crazy because I feel like even though I wrote that song 2 years ago, the Lord is kind of reteaching it to me right now in this whole new way. And it started off as a song being written in my bedroom. It's kind of re-entered that place for me because I find myself going to the Lord. And over the past few months, man, when you have hurricane wind and rain hitting the side of your house and you're sitting in there with your family and the alarms keep going off on your phone for flood warnings and tornado warnings and all this craziness, I'm saying, God, I know that you are a protector, and I'm asking for you. I know that if you say, peace be still, this storm will stop. And he didn't do it, but he was provider, and he still is right now. Like he's providing a way for us to fix our home on the other side of it. And when the cancer comes in, I'm saying, Jesus, I know that you are healer, and I know that you have the power in your name to completely obliterate this cancer right now. So God, can you be healer? Can you change my brother's life right now? And he has chosen not to do that, but he has shown up as comforter. And I'm learning more and more that sometimes the question that we ask, God, can you change the things around us, is the wrong question. Sometimes, man, he is so good to be protector and to stop storms and to be healer and to heal cancer. But he is also so good that when we say, God, if you're not going to change the things around me, can you change something inside of me so that I can handle the things that you're walking me through right now? He's so good. He's just as much of a difference maker as comforter. He's just as much of a difference maker as provider. And so we're leaning on him in a new way. We're learning to trust him in some new ways. And he has been so good to change my heart to where it's keeping us from being so bitter and so upset, but instead, man, just remaining hopeful and just waiting to see how the Lord is going to show himself faithful through this new thing.
Oh, man. That is so well said. Mr. Micah Tyler is the hitmaker behind Never Been a Moment and the newly released full-length debut album and single called Different.
Yeah, man.
We enjoyed laughing with you so much the last time we chatted with you that there was one question I wanted to ask you the first time that I forgot to ask you, and I don't want to miss the opportunity now. You seem like somebody to me that would have a very good story for this question.
Okay, I hope so.
Yeah, I'm not building it up too much, I hope, right? So at live shows, you guys do live shows night after night after night, and I think we forget, as people that go and see this beautifully tailored experience often happen before our very eyes, how many things can go wrong over the course of a show, right? So what I want to know from you is this. What is one of the goofiest things that you have seen happen at a live show, sir?
Okay, so I feel like I do have a really great answer for this one. October the 17th of 2015, I'll never forget that day because it was right after I had signed a record deal with the record label that I'm with right now, with Fair Trade Services, and I just signed a management contract with my management company, who also manages Mercy Me. And so whenever I was they came to me back in August of 2017, right after I signed the deal, and they called me up and they said, "Hey, Micah, we have an awesome opportunity for you. How would you like to play at the Texas State Fair and open for Mercy Me?" And I'm going, as a young Texan growing up, like, that is like the pinnacle. Like, that absolutely. And they told me it's going to be, they said, "Are you available?" It's October 17th, 2015. And I said, "Let me check my calendar." And I checked. And I was an independent artist for 5.5 years, so I'd been booking all on my own and everything.
Sure.
And I had already booked a youth group retreat. Come to find out, it was a junior high retreat in the woods at a small camp. And I was like, oof. And my whole, man, when I stepped into doing music ministry, I had so many wise people tell me, "Man, you've got to be a man of integrity. When you book something, you stick to that booking. You don't turn it down for a better offer. You got to stick with it." So I told the management company, I said, "Man, you have to know how important this would be for me to do this, but I've already booked myself to play at this other thing. And so apparently the Lord's going to do something incredible for this deal." So they said, "Okay, that's fine." So I got off the phone. About 3 days later, I get a call from a church in Huntsville, Texas, saying, "Hey, Micah, so Sanctus Real, as Matt Hammett was stepping out as the lead singer, is doing a farewell tour. We want to know if you'll open up for them when they come to Huntsville, Texas. I would love to do that. When is it?" And they said, "It's October the 17th. And I said, "I actually know that I'm already booked for that day. I know I'm not going to be able to do that, but thank you so much for asking me." So I got off the phone with them. 5 days later, I get a call. I get a call from a guy in Nashville, a buddy of mine, saying, "Hey, man, would you mind coming and sitting on a panel? Michael W. Smith is going to sit on this panel. I'd like for a couple of you guys to get up there and just talk about how the Lord is working in your life." And I'm going, "Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. When is it?" And he says, "It's October 17th. And I said, "I actually know that I am not available on that day." So I go into this junior high retreat with all of the weight of the world on my shoulders, knowing that the Lord is going to do something just remarkable. That every song that we sing, a dove is going to land on our shoulders, and he's going to whisper in our ears, "Well done, that good and faithful musician." And this whole thing. We show up in the woods, and we're playing on Friday night. It's a Friday night, Saturday night, so the 16th and 17th. And also, the room that they gave us, they forgot to keep the showers running during it was an off-season time, so all the water smelled like rotten eggs. And so we took showers where you smelled worse coming out of the shower than you did going in.
Oh, no.
So October 17th rolls around. The next day, I'm like, okay, this is the day. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice, and it will be awesome. So we go into this worship service that night. And I go to play the worship set, and it goes okay. Like, I mean, you know, we're still, but again, I'm just like, at this point, we get through with that. The invitation time is about to come up, and I give the Lord an ultimatum. I say, "Lord, I have turned down Mercy Me, Michael W. Smith, Sanctus Real. I just need you to show up in such a spectacular way that I'll never forget this night." So we get up there, plugged into a guitar amp, all this kind of stuff, and I'm singing the song "Great I Am." So I say, "I want to be close to your side," and a young lady on the front row begins to violently throw up.
Oh, no.
She throws up all over the floor. The whole youth group looks over and goes, "Oh." They rush her away. I look at the youth pastor as fast as I can, and he gives me the sign to just keep going. The guy keeps telling me to keep going. The song ends, and it is over. No doves, no Shekinah glory, nothing crazy happens. And I just walked out of there, and I realized that sometimes you just have to do things because the Lord tells you to do them, not because of the reward that comes right in the moment of doing those things. Now, here's the full circle to the whole thing. October 17th, 2017, 2 years later to the day that this whole thing happened, I performed at the Dove Awards and was nominated for New Artist of the Year.
Oh, man.
In that moment, I knew that all of heaven was just chuckling and looking down. And like, it sounded like when you know the surprise is coming and it finally happens. And it's just, it was amazing. So, yeah. So I would say that's probably the craziest experience, followed by one of the most remarkable, memorable nights of my entire life.
Oh, I'm so glad that that answer just happened. That was so. So even when you start a conversation with heavy topics with Micah Tyler, you still end up laughing. You can hear his newest song, Different, and learn all about this talented Texan at MicahTyler.com. And hey, thank you so much for listening. It's a joy to share these stories with you on the road.
For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit MyFaithRadio.com.